Welcome to Big Talk for Breeders. My name is Michael Doherty, a show jumping breeder from the west of Ireland. And in each episode, I'll bring you a new interview with a successful sport horse breeder. Thanks for checking out the podcast. Now let's get started. This is episode number 38 with Catherine Holzbosch of Stud Farm Van Hooke in Belgium. With most interviews, the breeder has been breeding for, in many cases, several decades, or it's a person that's quite heavily involved in the sport. But for this episode, I've taken a slightly different approach. I'm conscious that many of the listeners are younger breeders. And last month, Catherine won the BWP Young Breeder Award. This interview was the first time that myself and Catherine had spoken, and the conversation didn't disappoint. In this episode, we hear about Catherine's start in breeding, the impact that meeting a supportive group of older, more experienced breeders had on her early years of breeding. We get an overview of the current Van Hooke breeding program and also explore the motivations behind Catherine's decisions to start pony breeding, some of the learnings from her involvement with international sports stables, her experience and success in the Young Breeders program. We look at some of the great initiatives that the Belgian Warmblood Studbook have implemented to support and encourage younger breeders, some of the current challenges that Catherine feels exist for younger breeders, as well as her advice for fellow younger breeders or those starting off in the breeding program. When you're meeting and particularly interviewing someone for the first time, you often don't know what to expect. But in this instance, I was so impressed by Catherine's clarity, her focus, and the level of attention to detail. And I think you'll find her enthusiasm quite infectious. Last month, you received the BWP Young Breeder Award. So congratulations.
Thank you.
I think it's not often that breeders are recognized, and it's particularly nice to get such recognition as a younger breeder. But just for those listening, could you take us back to the beginning? When did you first start breeding horses? Because even though you're a young breeder and you have just received this award, you still have been breeding for quite a few years. So when did you start and how did that come about?
My first foal is born in 2007. It was just one. It is called Hikinishi Van Hooke. It's quite a special name. Yeah. She was by Cassini 2 out of a Calypso Tremare. I started breeding actually because I was studying, so I didn't have time to ride. I had the full sister to Querel. It was an approved stallion, so it was interesting for me to breed. And I was really, at that time, I was really crazy from Cassini 1, but my mare was not an Holstein bred. So at that time, I couldn't bred Cassini 1, so I chose the full brother, Cassini 2. Okay. But I wasn't familiar at all with breeding or sending frozen semen, so we drove to Keros at the sea. It, for us, it's like almost 3 hours driving. So we went with our mare there. Luckily, she was, I think, in full from the first time. First or second time, so it was okay. And the foal that was born was a really good gray mare. We were really happy with her. She did loose jumping. She won the competition. And as a four-year-old, I rode her myself. I'm really an amateur, but the horse jumped so amazing. I did in the Netherlands. There was a competition, the Hendrick competition. All professionals jump it, but I did it as an amateur. My points for riding were quite low, but because my horse jumped so good, we were still in the prize rankings. And I could sell her also there. She ended up in South Africa. So there she is now a breeding mare. So it was quite a good story.
Yeah, and a very successful start.
Yeah.
When you started, was there a particular goal? Were you trying to breed just for yourself, or had you a clear goal in mind?
No, at the beginning, when we bought Vienna, the mare, she was just for me for riding. It was my very first horse. It was my first horse coming from the ponies. And we didn't know we bought the full sister to Querel. But I was really into breeding, and I know every horse, every father, every mother on the paper of my mare. And I was spending a lot of time on the internet. And at one time, I come across the website of Den Holstenhoeven. And then I saw a stallion with the exact same paper. I saw the pedigree on the internet. And I said, every horse on the paper is the same. So I ran to get the paper of my mare. And he said, oh, it's the same. So, and then actually we discovered it was the full sister. And from there on, the interest went for breeding for sport. My goal is actually breeding for top sport. I had a luckily a good start, but the goal has always been sport.
Where do you think that the interest in breeding came from? Because at that point, if you were saying you're just going from ponies to horses, so you were only a
Yes.
teenager,
Yes.
and you were just breeding your own riding horse, but why or how were you so interested in breeding or pedigrees then? Did it come from somewhere, or did it come from something else?
No, they in Dutch they say it's the black duck in the family. I
Yeah.
don't know. I don't have any family in horse breeding, not my parents, not all the relatives. It's really strange. The thing is, when I started, I came in contact with old breeders from the Belgian stud book. It was a really warm group of breeders, and I think because of spending time with them, my interest grew in breeding for sport because it's not inherited.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask. Even in the years since you began, I wanted to know were there people who really influenced you or that you learned a lot from? Who were some of those people and how did they change how you approach your breeding?
The local older breeders here, an area where we spend a lot of time with, was like example Jan Winters, the breeder of Tauber van Kapelhof, Jacques Evens, the breeder of Pikfeuer van Koekshof, the really the older local farmers actually, and they were a group of friends, and then they took the younger generation with them, and I think unintended they created an atmosphere that people wanted to be like them, to be as good as successful as the as them to breed horses. I think it was in a very early stage actually. And I can't remember how I met them. I know we went all together in trips like to Holstein, Hanover, the Meers, Raststede, and all the places in Germany where they do exterior challenges. I always say it in English. We all went together with like a bus. Someone drove, and all the rest was together. It was always fun. I think it grew like that.
Breeding is such a slow and challenging game. And I think it's an incredible opportunity when you can not only start that young, but to be exposed to an environment like that as a teenager and to get the opportunities to travel with a group like that, learn from not just older breeders, because it sounds like there were also older breeders that had all been successful as well. So
Oh,
they,
yes.
and then to be able to come together with a group like that and then be exposed to some of the best breeding and the best breeding events and the best breeding areas at that age is an incredible foundation to get so young.
Yes, and I think for them was also interesting to have the younger people because we also helped them preparing the horses. We walked with the horses, we platted them. We also tried to help them. So for them was also interesting to have the younger generation around. And they are really kind in giving experiences and tell what to do, what not to do. In this area, it's really a plus point, how we say it, a plus to have them around.
Well, that's super. Either in the past when you were starting off or now, are there any breeding programs that you follow or that you visited that were a real source of inspiration or motivation for you?
I've been at a few places from the genetics. I really like the breeding of Paul van den Bos, to Tom van den Berghoeve. He has like every
Everything.
genetic. Yeah. So that's really nice to see for a young breeder like that. Okay, it's not possible for us to do the same. But also, when you have questions, he is also really eager to help the younger generation. I've also asked questions to him, and he is also really willing to help. So it's, yeah, we are quite lucky with to have such breeders in the area.
Already, your breeding products have gone on to enjoy success in show jumping. I think I saw that some have gone on to enjoy success in eventing. You have already approved stallions, some which have moved or are based with some prominent stables. And then you've also started breeding ponies.
Yes.
What motivated you to also go breeding ponies? Because that's something quite unusual.
I actually spent 1 full year only looking at starts and the results of the international pony classes. I analyzed every pedigree, and for me, the influence of horse blood, it's really high. So you can have in the top part the blood of Kanzhaber, but they are quite sharp, and sometimes the hals, the neck is a bit in the wrong direction, but they have all the scope and the willingness to jump. Or you have the Connemara, but then sometimes you lack a bit of canter for the biggest classes. And then I think I know the most about the horse genetics. I think that's quite interesting to combine. And after that 1 year looking, I started looking for a stallion foal or a yearling that I could buy to bring to Belgium that I think would be interesting to have and to produce for the biggest classes. And that was successful. So I came across Kamaki de Bollande. He's by Ocrion des Champs, that's son of Canaan. And then out of Veristar, the Kerveyer. It's a B pony, it's a 128 pony. But I think one of the best in France that jump, also the very best height for his height. And then he has also horse blood in. So Kamaki has 80% horse blood. But he is only 1 meter 47, so it's he can jump. I can send you videos of the loose jumping as a 2-year-old. We quit at 1 meter 40 loose jumping because I think yeah, it is otherwise too high. But he jumps everything, and at the moment he is 5. He jumps the 1 meter classes with the horses. He jumps so easy. So he breeds also. It's now his 3rd year breeding, and I think it's one for the Pony Grand Prix, and that's also the goal. So to produce him there, and then we find a good rider that can do the Pony Grand Prix, and then we see.
What encouraged you or motivated you to start studying ponies and to start going into the pony breeding?
I think I saw a lot of ponies jumping. I think that some of them could be improved, and that was the goal, to be successful in it. And I think in the pony world, there are people who doesn't know a lot about the genetics. They just are in the pony world when their kids are in the pony world.
Yes.
So they just buy it and then sell it. And when the kids outgrow it, they also quit. So in the breeding program, there's not really a lot of, for me, knowledge to for the top sport. And I think when you can combine it with the horse blood, I think it's easier. They have more canter for the treesprong, the how you say trees jumps after each other.
Triple
Yeah,
combinations.
triple combination. So I think there are opportunities to breed, but I also noticed that when you talk with pony breeders, there are people who are pro horse blood, but also a lot of who are against it. So it's really divided.
And what do you think are the new challenges that you face trying to be a successful pony breeder versus horse breeder? Do you have any similar approaches in how you try to breed your jumping horses and your jumping ponies? And then are there any different challenges that you face?
The gene pool from the ponies is smaller for me to use than the horse genes. With the ICSI and everything in the horse world, the genetics are all over the world. But in the ponies for the biggest sport, there are not a lot of mares you can start with. So I have done it now to have good mares bred by smaller ponies. And then with the next generation, I try to be in the 148 size and then combine it then with the right stallions. The mares who can do it that are available for breeding are not a lot. I've been in contact with a lot of people who have the mares that jump the Pony Grand Prix, but they stay in sport. And when they are not capable anymore to jump the 130s, they go to smaller children to jump lower classes, but they keep in sport till they die. It's different than at the jumping sport. They retire and then you can breed, but the ponies, it keeps going.
And is your goal with the ponies that you breed to produce them all in sport as far as you can, rather than sell them when they're young? I assume there's not a strong business for selling them quite
No.
young before they're under saddle.
Yes, you can an extraordinary you can always sell. But I think the most interesting is when you have one who is capable to produce for the Pony Grand Prix, to produce it also at that level, and then I want to sell. So I want them at that level. Like Kamaki, he can be at with the 130 level, and then he is available for sale. I can also sell him now, but I think it's more interesting to sell him at that level. I also make a selection if I don't think a pony can do it, or I have too much to produce, and they're being sold earlier. But normally, I try to produce them for the biggest level, and then for the ponies, and then sell them. I think that's the most interesting. Because when you need to sell pony foals or younger, it's not that interesting.
Is it difficult to find suitable pony riders for you?
It is, but I do it with a young adult, so it's not a pony rider that's on
Okay.
Kamaki, and he's also jumping at the horse classes, so he jumps between the horses. So for me, what he does now, it's not important. He makes kilometers. He just has experience, and when he is ready to do the Pony Grand Prix, then he will go to a pony rider at the moment. And also because he's a stallion, I don't want any children, or he is easy, that's not a
Yes.
problem. But when you have to work with pony people, you have to search every 2 years another rider, and that's not interesting for me. It's now a small adult that's only she's as big as a child, but she's older, so it works better. For me, it's easier, and it can go with my horses, so it's
Yeah.
one happy family.
Great. Talk me through your current sport horse mares. What mares are you breeding with at the moment? And then what foals are they expecting in 2025?
From sport horse, I have only at the moment one mare in sport. It's Kimmich Fomi Aventuca Z. It's an 8-year-old Quasimodo Z. She is a full sister to Qatar. He was owned by Schokkemöhle. He did the 160s. And she has also a full sister that did the 150s with a young rider. I've bred one foal with her from my own stallion, Cantago. He is now a 4-year-old, and he is sold. The mare is now jumping the youth classes with a young rider, a junior, actually. So, and the other horse I have in sport now is Shellac's Willy. He was an approved stallion, but he is gelded at the moment. He was an easy stallion, but just for commercial reasons, he is a gelding now. He is close related to Urikas van de Kattenvenne. And the father is Chili Willy.
Yeah.
Chili Willy, I worked with at Ludo Philippaerts. So those two are the only ones in sport at the moment. My breeding mares, one of the well-known mares is Lady Lynn van Dorpereide. She is a Tornash out of the family of Winningwood. And she expects a foal by Genius, the Appaloosa from at the moment at Sangerseide.
Yeah.
She will be born, he or she will be born in May. Then I have already two colts by Chaco Blue 2, one out of an I'm special, the Muse Voltaire mare. The mare jumps amazing and loose jumping. I had also the sister of the mare. She was by Staccato, and she's now sold to Dubai. It's a dam line with really a lot of scope. The front technique can be sometimes a bit better. That's why I used Chaco
Scatter.
Blue too. And
Okay.
I didn't want extra blood because they have already a lot of blood. That's why I chose for me a colder Chaco Blue. So I think that's a good match. And the colt can has a really strong canter, and I'm really happy with the result. And the other one, the other colt is a gray colt by Chaco Blue 2 out of a Quickstar mare. The mother is named Quiet Carlina van Tuca. It's out of the dam line of Carlina, who did Olympics with Pius Switzer.
Sweat.
The mare could also use some size, and she was also quite hot. So I think that combination also went really well. Then I have an Emerald van Truytershof filly, a black filly, out of a 4-year-old Cantago mare. The mare is out of Non-Stop Cartago. She will go in sports now. Also, the mare herself was really long in the back. So I think with Emerald, it's a bit shorter, and she can also put weight on the hind leg. So I'm also happy with the result. Then the last horse born is Charino PS out of the Thunder van de Zuidhoeve. Charino, I saw with Zascha Niegaard. It's a Chaco Blue Larina Andiamo. It's quite a hot horse. He's really forward. but he has impressive shoulder. He really jumps amazing. And I think with Thunder, she's a bit colder. She can use the shoulder, and I think she can handle the temperament of Shirino. So I'm curious to see in the future what it holds.
I already love the detail and the analysis and the way that you think about it and think of the combinations. It's not, I don't think anything is just one bred with the other by chance. I think
Oh, no.
there is a lot of thought has gone into all the strengths and weaknesses and the combinations. A question that I sometimes like to ask people is if they could add any living sport mare to their breeding program from all the mares that are jumping in the sport right now. Is there one mare that you watch? Because I assume you also watch a lot of show jumping,
Yes.
not just study the pedigrees. Is there a particular mare, or we can even take a few, that you think I'd love an opportunity to breed with that mare or have that mare in my breeding program?
I think all the mares who has been like on Olympics, and so I would want to have in my program. But at the past, I was really fond of Sella, and yeah, also that dam line was in the past not really exploded through ICSI. This it was really yeah. interested to use. Then I also like the dam lines of HD, the breeding, just really the good sport mares that win all the classes. A few years ago, I also talked with a breeder of Explosion, and I also liked how he used the talents of this dam line in the breeding. Like, Explosion was not an easy horse when he was young. He was really sharp, and I really liked how he combined everything. The breeding, the riding, the management, and for me, he is an example for a good breeder who managed everything in the right direction. So it's not a mare like that, but if the dam line of Explosion, how Willie managed it, for me it's like an example. So
okay. And in addition to your own breeding program, you have been involved, I don't know, is it past or present, with the breeding programs of Ludo Philipparts and Carl Cox?
It was in the past. I actually, in the beginning, I am actually a teacher of chemistry and biology. And then when I was finished of school in the holidays, you can't start as a teacher. So I started at Carl Cox as a stable manager, but it was in the early days, not as big as it is now. And actually, I stayed there. It was so much fun. I did everything there. And also, I have my driver's license for the truck and trailer. So I did a lot there. And I also rode the young horses. So we also went on shows with like the 4 and the 5 year olds, not the really bold ones, the easy ones. I'm still an amateur, but it was really fun. And I also did I helped with the breeding. But the problem then was I had a really massive fall. There was a horse that had a heart problem and it died at the show, and I was under it. So I spent a few time in hospital. And after that, I thought maybe riding is nothing for you. And then Ludo was looking for somebody to have in this breeding program. So I switched from Carl to Ludo to do the breeding. And I started with Hajnam Extra and Chili Willy. That was the beginning. And then I helped combine with the breeding. At that time, he had 100 young horses in Poland. So he drove also a lot to there to help with the breeding. But at one time, it was time to change. So yeah, I still have good contact with them. But yeah, when the boys are now make the, how we say it, the company bigger, I don't think the breeding program is going less for them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And again, similarly to the exposure that you got when you were a teenager to the breeders, again, it must have been a great opportunity to get exposed to high level sports stables.
Oh, yes.
As a younger breeder, were there particular things that you learned or that you saw that changed how you approached breeding?
Yes, I think when you have of you the aim is to have a horse for top sport, there is more than only studying the pedigree, and that's what is done now at the moment the most. I think they see the pedigree, they take a stallion that is really commercial, and they just combine it. But that's not how it works. There's so much more. It's a soundness, it's a willingness. There's a lot in the head of the horse, and like the last carefulness, it's really in the mind. The mind of a horse is really important, and also when it's getting difficult, if they do it or not, it's in the mind, and that's what some breeders don't take in consideration, and that I learned in the stables.
That is an incredible quote, that the last scope is in the mind. It's very well put. I read an interesting quote. Carl Cox has had at least two, if not more, of your breeding
Yes.
program, of your breeding products.
Yes.
And in an old interview I saw where he bought, maybe when he bought the first one, there was a quote from Carl, and it read, "I believe in Catherine's vision on breeding. She breeds with quality and a lot of insight. I have every confidence in her." That was 5 years ago. And I thought for somebody to make that statement, I thought was a great sign of you and your approach and a great vote of confidence to get that as a younger breeder. So I think you obviously made quite an impression there as well.
Okay, thank you. I'm really, really fond of breeding. I'm every day in my mind busy with breeding, also with combinations. It's maybe it's a disease or something.
Yeah.
I can't stop with it.
If you're buying a new horse or you're going out to buy a new horse, who's the first person you pick up the phone to look for advice?
To be honest, I don't buy a lot of horses. If I buy one, I do it actually myself for a breeding mare or something. I analyze it myself. I don't actually call someone. It's actually the other way around. If I have like a really good young horse, I think it's interesting, then the people who helped me in the past, like Carl or Ludo, they get like the first chances to be able to buy it. But to buy young horses, that's actually not what I do. I only buy, if I buy one, it's like a breeding mare or something, but not young horses. So it's not that I call someone, you know.
I think that's a it's a good approach. A lot of the time, I think breeders are really slow to reach out to people in the sport. And I had this discussion actually quite recently that we sit and we wait for people to come and take an interest in our horses or our breeding products. But I actually think that there's also an advantage in like what you're doing there, where you're going to Carl Cox or you're going to the Philipparts and giving them an opportunity to buy first, because also you're making sure that they're aware of what you have because of your association with them before.
Yes,
They
and I've
know
been
what they're dealing with.
good with them both. And it's also the other way around when I'm at the show or I see online a good young horse, I think they can suit one of the two. I send it to them and they can do whatever they want with it. But then I try to help them even now if I see one that I think, yeah, it can suit them, or when I spot a young horse from another breeder, I let them
Okay.
know.
Because I take it you're going to spend far more time researching and watching videos and looking up pedigrees than anyone is going to have, than anyone who's running a sports stable is going to have the time to do. You're currently studying veterinary on top of everything else that you're trying to
Yes.
do. What made you go back? You had already gone and studied to be a teacher, then you decided to go at the horses, but what made you go back to study veterinary?
When I was at Ludo's stable, I was dividing the semen of all the stallions. So I was in contact with like 10 veterinaries each day. And then I thought I wanted to do it myself. And also, when I am a veterinary myself, I am more independent. And how you say it, there's more future for me to do something. It's not that I want to be like the biggest veterinary or something like that, but then I have more security for myself, and it's really my interest to do the veterinary work. I really, yeah, live for the work. But it's not that I want to do one thing in particular. It's not that I want to do like or the breeding, or like if there's a horse lame or so that I need to see when I finished, then I have more security for myself.
Something else that was interesting with your association with BWP, that you also do some judging.
Yes.
How did that start? Was that something that you sought out, that you looked for? Or was that something that just happened a little bit accidentally or organically?
Maybe we can start with the world championships of the young horses. So when I was really young, also because of the older breeders, we also get in touch with the younger breeders and the program of the BVP. And the first time I went to in Ireland to Kilkenny with the world championships, it was in 2009. And in the beginning, we had a really fun group. Also, the mentoring people around at BWP.
Yeah, BVP, you can say. Yeah, it's
BVP. They're really enthusiastic people, and they really stimulate the young breeders. So, in 2009, I went the first time with them to Ireland, and then the second time I went to France in 2011, and then there I won the loose jumping church competition. So that was a really fun beginning. And it gives more interest in judging. And so I followed a course at the BWP. And so I became, after 3 years, a judge. So now I am able to judge like the exterior challenges. I did some loose jumping competitions. I did national champion fall championship. So they ask me a lot, and I really love it. When I was working for Carl and Ludo, I did it a bit less. Otherwise, I could be biased because I was working for like
Yes.
big stables, but now that's not so. Now I can judge everywhere, so that's really a fun thing to do. And recently, I joined the stud book commission, so I follow the place of Boudewijn Schepers.
Yeah.
That's how I took his
I know
place
about
now.
it. Yeah.
Yeah, I took his place now at the stud book commission, so it's really fun. And we have a really enthusiastic group, and we try to make the BVP a good stud book. So it's all from a really a warm group of people, and it's really fun to be around. So I think that matters a lot. Just it's fun to work there because it's all voluntarily. It's not paid or something. It's all for free. So it's the people who makes it fun, I think.
And I
Yeah.
guess the people are there for the right reasons because they have to do it voluntarily. For those that are listening, in Ireland, the Young Breeders Programme is well established. You have been incredibly successful in your involvement in the Young Breeders in Belgium. But for those that might be listening to this conversation that are less familiar with the Young Breeders Programme, will you just talk through it a little bit? What's involved and what do you feel are the benefits of participating in it? Because it is an incredible opportunity for people, especially if they don't come from a strong horse background. I think it's
I
an extra
advise everybody in every country to contact their own stud book to ask about the youth program. There are two classes. It's for seniors and juniors, so the two age groups. You can also find a lot of the on the website for the young breeders. And it's also you learn a lot. So there's a lot of teamwork. You meet a lot of new people. And like next year in 2026, it's in Germany at Landgoed Zelle. So if you want to join, maybe send your stud book an email, ask about it, because I think the selections will be in a short while, and then you can also have training at your stud book. What you need to do there are four things. One is like a theory exam, but you get the theory, and then it's in English, and there you have to make an exam. They ask a few questions about it, but you get the theory, you can study, so that's not a big deal. Then the second thing you can do is the in-hand competition. So you have to run with a horse, and then you have to present it as good as possible. But also there you can ask people who are good at it how you need to do it, their rules, how you need to present the horse, how you need to let it stand, how you need to run, how you need to hold your hand. So there you can ask tips about it. And the other two things are the judging the exterior and judging the loose jumping. So then at the championship, you see a few horses. The first horse is judged by judges who are there at the championship. And if they give like on the back, they give like an 8. Eh? And you think it's maybe like a 7 or something. You have to be as close as possible to the judges. So then you need to go a bit up with your points. So the goal is to be as close as to the points of the judges. So when they score the loose jumping horse and the exterior horse, you need to try to have the same result as them. So like the who wins, who's second, who is third. And then the points also close as possible. So you have four things: the loose jumping, the exterior, the in-hand competition, and the theory exam that is judged. And then there was also a lot of fun there. They also do at the evening meetings for the people. So you meet a lot of breeders, young breeders from other stud books. They have like a small party. They have a visit from the country. So it's really interesting to do. So I would advise it to everybody.
With the BVP, how did they as a stud book, apart from maybe the Young Breeders Program, but how do they continue to involve the younger generations and keep more younger people involved in the stud book and interested in breeding? Are there other things that are done to encourage younger breeders?
Yes, we have a lot of activities for the young breeders. We have Uitstap, a gathering only for the young breeders. So they go see big breeders. So like on a particular day, so we go to like three big stables. We have been to like Ashworth Farm, to Staffex, to Lansing, to Paul van der Bos. It's also interesting to go there and to learn. And then you are with like 50 young people. So it's really quite big. So I think the BVP is one of the biggest stud books that do something for the young people. And also, when they help at the stallion approval, they also get benefits at other events. So yeah, it's like a win-win situation. When you do something, you get something other, yeah, benefits, or you meet people. Yeah, I think it's a good system.
And it's really good that they're not just exposing the younger generations to the breeding, that also to the sport, because, okay, with some younger breeders, they ride. And they're quite exposed to the sport. But I think often as breeders, if you don't ride, or like say me, I didn't ride, I think breeders can often be not so good at exposing themselves to the sport. But it's brilliant in that case that they're doing that so early as well, like to all those top stables that you mentioned, as well as seeing the stud book events.
And they sponsor the young breeders, like Staffex did it, Carl Cox did it. They sponsor the trips of the young breeders. They're really behind it. The big sports stables, they give money to support the young breeders. So it's really one big family.
That's fantastic. And I know there are people around the world that are going to listen to this conversation that are involved in different organizations, different stud books, involved in decision making. And I really, really hope that there are some notes taken on things like the Young Breeders Program and initiatives like the BVP are doing for younger breeders, because it gives people such an incredible chance that whether you're born into the horse industry or new to the horse industry, that you have the chance to get that exposure and get that learnings, because you can be fortunate. Like when you started off, you can be in an area where you're fortunate that there's someone quite supportive or a few people that are quite supportive. But a lot of the time, either people don't have that or don't know how to find that. Or maybe some people are a little bit more shy or awkward about looking for that. To have initiatives like that, I think is really super.
Yeah, and the bigger people, they really think about the younger generation who can use it, and it's really fun, and it's also much appreciated by the younger generation. So it's, I think in the next few years, it also benefit them in some kind of way, because everybody now takes a warm heart, or how you say, carries a warm heart to them. Yeah. So yeah,
and then with the younger people that participate, like a lot of them are going to go off and start their own businesses, start their own breeding programs. Even in the young breeders, you're not just getting to know the people in your own stud book or your own country, you're getting to know people around the world. And I think at a younger age, it's the easiest stage and time to make those contacts. And then those contacts exist for a long, long time.
I think one of the biggest challenges for the young breeders at the moment is to think long term. So not to try to have now like the most expensive auction fall or something, but like to think in generations, and like the young breeders, we can have like from our own breeding, like 3, 4, 5 generation or more. So try to breed that you, after a few years, you still have a mare or something for your breeding program for the top sport, or for the biggest sport, and try to ameliorate the dam line a bit by bit of how we say it. So you cannot change everything and
Progress.
yeah, progress. Yeah. Level up.
Or improve. Sorry,
Yeah,
improve.
improve. Yeah. So not to have now the most expensive fall, but try to level up everything that you can still be breeding after a few years, and then you have like a really solid foundation that you know everything of your dam line, and then you know what stallions you can use or not, or what typical traits they have. Like some dam lines, they are like a bit too hot, or some are like a bit too stiff at the old family. So that you need to know from your dam line, and that you need to every generation try to improve it. Or they, if like the canter is not good enough, or the shoulder is not like really top, so that you need to have the most characteristic traits of the dam line that you need to, the plus and the min, you need to ameliorate every time. I don't know how I said it. Sorry.
You need to work on, or you need to improve those traits. I think you're very correct with the statement, and it would be a concern now, and not just also for younger breeders. I think for many breeders, I would share that concern that it's like everything feels very short term at the moment. What I'd like to know is, in your own personal case, as a younger breeder, and you are thinking more long term and you are breeding for the top sport, but what do you feel are the greatest challenges as a breeder, as a younger breeder, greatest challenges for your own breeding program?
I think at the moment it's like the cost is one thing, so all prices gone up, and if you think long term, you're not like selling the best foals or at the moment, so you keep it for long term. So it's really important that you can stay busy for breeding. For a young breeder, it's not easy. Also for me, it's you have to really think about it. So sell a few and then keep a few. So I try to do it like that. And I think what also is a thing for the future is animal welfare. So if in the future we can, like we can't use like spurs or a whip or something like that, that means the horses need to be sharper from themselves. So you can't ride with as much as leg as when you use spurs or a whip. So everything has to be sharper. But on the other side, when you breed horses that are that sharp for top sport, it also means that if they are not good enough for top sport, they probably are a bit too sharp for the amateur. So it's a really thin line that if they are too sharp for the amateur, then that's no way out to there. So, and the prof rider won't ride them. So that's a thing in the future I think we need to think about, if animal welfare will go further on that. If everything needs to go lighter, I think that's a point to think about.
Are you currently leading any groups or organizations?
Leading.
You personally?
No, I am
Yeah, like in
in
charge of.
a no, I'm in a lot of committees or so, but not leading. No.
One of the things that I wanted to ask you about was your future ambitions and what you want to achieve in the next 10 years. But I think if we're having this conversation again in 10 years, I can see you being a person in some key roles, some key decision-making roles in the breeding world and leading them. Just
Oh.
how you think and how you think about the problems and how you explain things, how analytic you are. And I think you really, really understand the benefits of bringing people together and supporting people. So I can
Oh.
see that in your future.
Oh, wow, that's a really big compliment. Thank you.
In terms of those future ambitions from your breeding program, before I start giving you other jobs throughout the industry, when we are having this hopefully conversation in 10 years' time again, what are the things that you would like to have achieved in that time period?
I really hope that I can breed a few horses that I really can follow at the highest level. I don't need to be like the owner or something. I don't think that's possible at that stage. But I really hope that there are horses that I can watch on television or go watch live that really are successful at the really highest level. That would be really my dream, actually, to achieve. And I have had a few approved stallions, so, but really doing great in sports, that is really what the ambition is. And that, yeah, that you have like a horse that wins a big competition or something, that I would really adore.
For my final question, I think you've already touched on maybe some of the answers in your in the part about the challenges or concerns with the younger breeders, but I always like to finish each interview with what advice would you offer to young breeders or to someone starting off in their breeding program? Because I'm conscious that sometimes people maybe don't identify as a younger breeder. They might be getting into the breeding side of things maybe later life. So, but for somebody starting off in breeding, what are the pieces of advice that you would offer to them?
I think one of the important things is not to be shy to ask advice or directions or give an insight. And it doesn't mean that you have to agree with everybody, but you can listen to a lot of people and to ask things. And if you have an other opinion, it's fine, but you also can listen to it and take things in consideration and then see if it works for you or not. And not when one thing bad happens that you need to quit or be depressed and you have to quit everything. You really have to, it goes in waves. Sometimes it's up, sometimes
Yeah.
it's down, but you really have to keep going. And not if there's one failure that you have to be depressed that you stop that. So you really need to keep going. And if it doesn't work with one mare line, a dam line, then change and then go with another one. So it's really determination that will give you at the end a good feeling, I think.
If you enjoyed this episode or any of the previous episodes, why not send it to a friend or share it on your social media?